The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So you might have guessed from the little bit I did at the end of the guided meditation that I wanted to talk about working with thoughts tonight. Last week we talked about this primarily in terms of working with thoughts in meditation, and especially when they're connected with a lot of emotional content. Tonight I mostly want to talk about working with thoughts in daily life, but I want to start by just checking in with you about that little exercise that we did at the end. Could you notice your thoughts? Could you count your thoughts? Could you see those thoughts? I'm curious, you know, hold up some hands. How many thoughts did you count? Just call out some numbers. Before you lost count. Six? Anyone else? Yeah? Four, okay. Five, okay. Yeah, sometimes it's like a whole story can come in, and it's like, is that one thought or is it 20? Yeah. So mostly what I wanted to do there. Oh, and the other question, too, is how did you notice those thoughts? Did you notice them as, how many of you noticed them as images? Did any of you notice images? Quite a few of you noticed images. How about as if you were talking to yourself? That's a really common way. How about as if somebody else is talking to you? A few like that, yeah. Any other ways you notice thoughts? Sometimes it's like a movie. You notice it like with a movie and like moving pictures. It wasn't just an image, but a whole movie and soundtrack sometimes. Sometimes it can be songs. Sometimes it can be a feeling in the body. Did anybody have it kind of like a kinesthetic feeling, almost like you were doing something? Yep, okay. Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways that we can experience thoughts. But the main piece I wanted to point out with that particular exercise is that you can be aware of thought. You can be mindful of them. Sometimes we think, I mean, partly because the instructions in meditation, you know, in sitting meditation, we are often exploring not being lost in thought, which often means that when we notice that we're thinking, we try to let go of thinking and come back to some physical experience in the body, for instance. We try to come back to the breath or a physical sensation. And so we have a kind of a familiar pattern, let's say, in sitting meditation of letting go of thoughts and coming back to something non-thought to ground our attention in the present moment, body sensation or emotion. And so that creates the conditions where we don't get to practice so much being mindful, actually aware of thoughts, actually noticing thoughts, that we can be mindful of thoughts. And so I want to talk about this particularly with respect to our daily lives right now, because, you know, we do have to think to navigate our lives. You know, everybody noticed that? You know, like we have to think, we have to plan, we have to recollect what we did, we have to think about what we're going to do, we have to think in order to have conversations, to carry on relationships. We need thoughts. And so if we have this idea that thoughts are, it's not possible to be mindful and aware and present while we're thinking, then there's vast chunks of our daily life that are off limits. But fortunately, it's not the case. We actually can be mindful while we're thinking. It is an area where we do tend to have a habit of not being mindful. Thoughts are a pretty powerful, delusive force in our minds. They tend to have this, what we've tended to do in our lives is when we have thoughts, we kind of believe them in a way, or we kind of take birth into them, believe that there's some reality to those thoughts. And so believing that reality of the thought we are losing touch with the reality of the present moment. And yet what's actually happening in the moment when we're thinking is that there is a thought arising right now. What the past actually, what the experience of the past is in this moment is that there's a thought of the past arising now. There isn't really a future. There's no future that exists anywhere objectively. What we think of as the future is a thought about something that might happen arising now. And so again, everything happens now. And we can be open to recognizing that experience. And there's a power to that because when we're caught by thoughts, when we are lost in thoughts, you know, a thought about something that happened to us in a conversation with a friend where there was a charged reaction. If we're lost in that thought, then what tends to happen is that we get lost not only in the thoughts, but in the reactivity. Our habits of reactivity arise in those thoughts when we're not mindful of them. And as we can begin to become mindful of thoughts, there's a little more possibility for us to be aware of how we are as we're thinking the thoughts and to have some kind of possibility of not being swept away by reactivity, not being swept away by beliefs and views about what we're thinking about, but instead recognizing, okay, this is what's happening in the present moment. This is what's going on. And so learning how to navigate our thoughts in daily life partly is about, well, in that exercise that we did, we were mostly just kind of acknowledging thoughts, and probably as you acknowledge them, what did you notice as you acknowledged those thoughts? What happened to a thought when you noticed it, when you counted it? It disappeared, that's right. This is what it tends to do. And so, you know, that's another skill that takes some time to learn. Because very often as we kind of turn to look at a thought, there's a kind of an energy or a, it's almost like the energy that had been used to think that thought is now taken up by looking, and so the thought goes away. So that's great for meditation, that tends to happen in meditation. So we can be curious about thoughts as just something happening in the present moment, and they tend to just vanish. They tend to just come up and leave as we notice them. But in our daily lives, because we do have to engage with content, there's a kind of a middle ground where we can learn how to be aware of our thoughts, and not just as an image or as somebody saying something to us, not just the way in which we're thinking, but actually be aware of the content as well. And this is one big area of difference between practice with thoughts in meditation and practice with thoughts in daily life. In our meditation, we do acknowledge the content to some extent if it's powerful or strong content. If there's a lot of reactivity, if there's thoughts of anger, we might notice angry thoughts, but not get into the details of that. So in our meditation, we tend to take a step back from the content. We may notice overview themes like past thoughts, remembering thoughts, or future thoughts, or angry thoughts, or judging thoughts, but we don't really get too involved with the content. We may even just notice a thought as thinking and then let it go. But in daily life, we actually need to learn how to be present with the content. And so what is that? How do we do that? What does that mean? For me, this has been an ongoing exploration, and I'll just offer you a few tools that I've worked with to help me to explore this. I'll start by describing just kind of my experience at this point, which is that it kind of feels like there can be two tracks in the mind. So there's the mind that's thinking, that's doing its thing. You know, it's contemplating about what do I need to do tomorrow, or thinking about the content of my Dharma talk or something like that. It's that there's thoughts going in the mind, and I can almost just like let those run. And then there's another track that's kind of running parallel, that knows those thoughts, that knows its thinking, and knows something of how I am while I'm thinking them. So it's almost like there's these two processes happening together. And so that's a skill to learn. And it takes time. I mean, when I first started working with thoughts, it was very much that I turned to look at it and they would vanish. And it's like, well, how is it even possible to be mindful of content? But there's some ways to explore it, and so that's what I'd like to explore with you tonight. So to start with, in terms of content, the Buddha first of all suggested in one of the teachings that he gave, he said, you know, when I sat down and started looking at my mind and seeing my thoughts, I saw that I could break my thoughts into two rough categories. There were thoughts whose content was skillful, helpful for me in my life, and there were thoughts whose content was not helpful. He gave some further elaboration on that. He said that the thoughts that were not helpful were based in sense desire, ill will, and cruelty. And thoughts that tended to be helpful were based in renunciation, in non-ill will, and non-cruelty. Or to put it more positively, thoughts related to letting go, to compassion, and to kindness. So he looked at his thoughts in this way, and he said, when I noticed the thoughts were not helpful, when I noticed there were unskillful thoughts, I explored I explored letting those go. He used the word abandon. I explored abandoning those thoughts. When I noticed that thoughts were skillful, he said, I noticed that I could think those thoughts all day and all night, and no harm would come to anybody from my thinking those thoughts. And I think that's one of the key distinctions that he makes with respect to skillful and unskillful, are the thoughts creating a climate of the mind that leads us towards harming ourselves or others? Those are kind of thoughts that we should, what he says, abandon. Thoughts that do not conduce to that, that don't lead to affliction, that don't lead to harm. He said, there's no problem with those. Although he did go on to say, I did notice when I was in meditation, yes, I could think those thoughts all day and all night, and they didn't lead to affliction, but they kept the mind agitated when I was in meditation. And so it wasn't so useful to think those thoughts, even thoughts of compassion, even thoughts of kindness. It wasn't so useful in meditation. And so there's a place and a time for thinking skillful thoughts. But basically he's saying when thoughts are not skillful, we need to explore what does it mean to let them go? What does it mean to abandon them? I want to explore that first a little bit, because what we think when we hear abandon is, I need to stop thinking that thought. I need to get rid of that thought. I need to repress that thought, or something like that. We seem to think that that's what abandon means. But, you know, the Buddha really understood that what's going on in our minds is based on conditions. And abandoning, I think, means not... What I understand abandoning to mean is shifting from being caught in the thought, believing the thought, to being aware of it as a thought. That is abandoning the direction of that thought leading towards harm, leading towards suffering. As we notice, for instance, a thought, you know, I had many thoughts in my mind about self-hatred. You're a failure, you're no good, those kinds of thoughts. You know, those kinds of thoughts, when I believed them and when I kind of bought into them, they led to a kind of a spiral downward into depression and self-hatred. When I could notice them as thoughts, there was something to be known there, and it was definitely a journey. My exploration around looking at self-hatred and exploring the thoughts around self-hatred was quite a long journey for me in my meditation practice. And initially, there was a lot of emotional impact of those thoughts. And yet, the shift from not being aware that I was thinking those thoughts to being aware that I was thinking those thoughts was the beginning of the abandoning of those thoughts. It allowed the mind to begin to recognize, first of all, the way mindfulness works is it begins to point out to us how much pain certain thoughts, certain mind states, certain emotions create in our system. Some part of my mind had somehow believed that being judgmental about myself was somehow helping me. Before I really started looking at this, some part of my mind believed that judging myself in that way, and when I looked at it more closely, it's like I believed that judging myself would make me not have to suffer those things in the future somehow. It's almost like judging myself would prevent myself from having that situation happen in the future. If I really understood how bad it was to do that thing or how I failed at that thing, then somehow in the future I wouldn't fail at that thing again. So it somehow, in some convoluted way, my mind believed that this thought was doing me some good. And then when I began recognizing the pain of that thought, very immediately in the present moment, that the mind could recognize, this is not serving. This is not serving me. And so that shift of mindfulness of the thought and all of the stuff that comes along with the thought, that is my understanding of what the Buddha means by abandoning. We abandon by becoming aware of the thought in a different way. And so, looking at our thoughts with this lens, is this thought a helpful thought? Does it conduce to ease, to peace, to happiness? Or does it conduce to struggle, to suffering, to stress? Does it lead to affliction? Or does it lead to more ease? This is a kind of separation the Buddha made about his own thoughts. There's another teaching that I think also helps us to explore this, the skillful thoughts and unskillful thoughts, and it's from the teachings on wise speech. The Buddha suggested that we not speak false speech, harsh speech, divisive speech, or idle chatter. And then in addition, that we speak when it's beneficial and when it's an appropriate time. And so we can kind of look at those guidelines for speech and reflect those same guidelines back on our thoughts, because in a very real way, our thoughts are inner speech. And so with speech, we can apply these guidelines perhaps a little more consciously, in terms of we can begin to explore pausing before we speak and see, is this thing I'm getting ready to say true? Is it harsh? Is it divisive? And yet we can't usually. It is possible to see our thoughts, see that we're going to think before we think. But most of the time, what we're doing is already thinking. And so it's not so much that we can evaluate a thought before we think it and say, oh, I don't want to think that one. It's more along the lines of we notice the thoughts that are here and look at them. And we can begin to look at them through this lens. I have summarized those into three basic guidelines. Is it true? Is it kind? And is it useful? So is it true? Is it kind? Is it useful? So when we're thinking thoughts, if we can, and this is in our daily lives, we can begin to notice the kinds of thoughts that happen in our minds. One of the first reflections we can make is it useful? I'll start with that one, because so many of our thoughts are not useful. It's noise. You know, is this thought necessary? Is this thought something that we need to be thinking? So many of our thoughts serve some kind of a familiar purpose. And so it can be interesting if we recognize some thought that doesn't seem to be necessary. Like we find ourselves fantasizing about something or other that's pleasant. It's like, well, maybe that's not pleasant. Maybe that's not necessary, but boy, I sure don't want to let go of it because it feels good to think about it. So what purpose is it serving there? What is the purpose that it's serving? In some ways, what I see happen a lot with some of my useless thoughts is that the purpose it's serving is to settle me down a little bit, maybe, or it's depending on what the thinking is. I mean, if it's a kind of a fantasy about something pleasant, it might be serving to create some ease in my heart or mind. Sometimes when they're useless thoughts, it can be just the opposite. It can be useless thoughts thinking about the 18 scenarios of what might happen when I walk out the door today and trying to plan all the different varieties of things that can happen. So there's a lot of different things that go on in our mind when we look and recognize, well, this isn't actually so helpful. But to look at what is the purpose that it's serving, sometimes that gets a little bit underneath the thoughts and may open us to something deeper that's going on there. You know, what purpose is this serving? You know, what the purpose it's serving, if I'm thinking the 18 different things, is to try to control the outcomes. It's to try to control anxiety. It's almost like trying to avoid the anxiety by trying to figure out how am I going to navigate all of these different scenarios. So the purpose of those thoughts is somehow to try to navigate anxiety, probably anxiety that wasn't really acknowledged. And so we can kind of drop underneath and recognize what's going on underneath. Sometimes thoughts that are that seem like they're not so useful. And one time I found myself thinking a lot about friends. You know, it's like, well, why am I thinking about these friends? You know, is this useful? But, you know, and I would just come back to my experience, and then I'd find myself thinking about these friends again. And at some point, I dropped underneath. It's like, well, what's going on with these thoughts about these friends? And what was going on was a feeling of connection, of love. I hadn't really noticed that. The purpose, in effect, was for some reason the heart and mind was moving in the direction of connecting with these friends. And so sometimes our thoughts, even if it seems like they're useless, they can be serving a purpose that if we actually connect to it and acknowledge it, we can open to something new. Another example from my own practice. I noticed at one point I was driving and recognized that the mind was just spinning into thoughts, planning in the future. And it's like, wow, this is like, I'm driving. This is not necessary. You know, these thoughts. And they were just like random little bits. There wasn't any much. It's like, oh, I got to tell that person that thing and that person that thing. And it was just like, noise almost. And I just kept noticing them, and I'd come back and it's like, okay, well, just be here, you know, just let go of those thoughts. But they kept happening. They kept happening. And so what I did at that point, when I noticed that they kept coming back, I kind of opened up and said, well, what else is going on here? Like, there must be something else going on here that these thoughts have such a pull on me. You know, the thoughts were not terribly pleasant, I would say. You know, the thoughts were kind of agitated and, you know, random little bits and snippets of things. But when I decided to kind of step back, it's like, what else is going on here? What I discovered, and this was like a shock, what I discovered was that I was really happy. I had no idea I was happy. And what the mind was doing with that happiness was trying to figure out, how can I hold on to this happiness? How can I make sure that I can keep this happiness? And so it was projecting into the future of, oh, I'm going to do this and that and this with this and this and that. And so the mind had completely missed that it was happy in this moment because it was tumbling in those thoughts. So this kind of exploration, like when it seems like thoughts are useless, it's not so much about just trying to stop them or set them aside, but see, you know, check in. Is there something underneath? What else is happening? That's a good question. What else is happening here? Or what purpose are these thoughts serving? It seems like they're useless, but is there a purpose for these thoughts? So exploring that a little bit. And then looking at truth. Are our thoughts true? We sometimes don't even question the truth of our thoughts. We almost think because we're thinking them that they must be true. At least for us, they're true. And yet, when we start to look at our thoughts, we start to recognize, well, actually, what am I thinking here? So, you know, as I started to notice my self-hatred thoughts, you're no good, you're a failure, those thoughts. I mean, as I began to look at them, it's like, well, it's not even objectively true, this thought. There's a belief that something about it has a germ of truth. There's a belief that at some level I'm deeply flawed or something like that. But, you know, as I look at my life, as I look at what's going on, you're a failure. It's not objectively true. And so that's another exploration. It's like, are our thoughts true? So much of what's going on in there isn't so much about true or false, even though we may take it that way. But it's about belief, views, opinions. And how much we believe those beliefs, views, opinions. And so as you begin to explore, is this thought true? If you reflect on, well, it's not objectively true, but I believe it. That's where I came to with those thoughts. It's like, it's not objectively true that I'm a failure, but some part of me believes I'm a failure. So what's that about? What's this belief? So beginning to explore belief. Beginning to explore belief is a really interesting process. Because we can start to recognize, like, those thoughts, for some reason, the self-hatred ones are the ones that I'm thinking about tonight. But you know, those thoughts about self-hatred, they would come up, and I would begin to recognize, doing this kind of an exploration around belief. You know, do I believe this thought? So here's a thought, and do I believe it? Sometimes I would notice I really believed it, and sometimes I noticed I didn't believe it. And so this began to point out to me that thoughts and beliefs are separate things. So this is useful. This is really useful to notice and to know, to understand, that we can begin to recognize these thoughts that happen and begin to recognize, how much do I believe that thought? Initially, when we first start looking at our thoughts, we have a very strong belief in our thoughts. That's the way we've been train, basically. We've been trained to believe our thoughts in so many ways. So as we begin, we may notice there's a strong belief with those thoughts. But what we can begin to do in that moment, because often when there's a strong belief in the thought, so this is where it shades into believing it's true. When we strongly believe a thought, we tend to believe it's true. And so what we can do here in a way of navigating this is to recognize, so for instance, around those self-hatred thoughts, as they would come up, I could acknowledge believing that thought is what's happening. I'm a failure. Believing I'm a failure is what's happening in the present moment. That's very different. That, again, this is the way mindfulness works, that as we start to recognize what's going on in our minds, it like creates some space. And what, to me, it feels like with that kind of a exploration, acknowledging, oh, what's happening right now is I'm believing that I'm a failure. That's what's going on in the present moment. It like puts a little crack in the, like, it's like it just makes a crack in the door to keep the door open to recognizing that it's not necessarily truth, that it is a belief. It's acknowledging that the mind is believing this right now. We don't have to try to convince ourselves to not believe it. In fact, we probably can't convince ourselves to not believe it. That was my experience. I couldn't tell myself, oh, don't believe you're a failure. It's like I could see I was believing it. I could see it wasn't objectively true, but I couldn't just flip a switch and say, oh, you don't have to believe that anymore. So, but I could acknowledge believing was happening. I could acknowledge that. Yes, believing. That's what's going on right now. And that created a little bit of space around it, almost a little bit of ease. It's like, oh, right, that's what's happening. It's like it lets some part of the mind acknowledge this isn't actually objective truth. This is a process of believing that's happening right now. That's what that allows the mind to do, to acknowledge that this is a believing process that's happening. And what I began to explore and understand around that is that there would be times over the course of my practice that those thoughts of self-hatred would come up and they would not be believed. And then there was no corresponding feeling of self-hatred. It was just, oh, there's that thought. Whew, there that thought went. So there, it wasn't, it's the belief in our thoughts, especially our sticky thoughts like that. It's the belief in them that makes, that creates the kind of spiral into the reactivity around it, or into the emotion, or into the struggle around it. So noticing beliefs. Noticing whether the thoughts are useful, whether they're true, and then whether they're kind. Are our thoughts kind? So the guidelines on wise speech, refraining from harsh speech or divisive speech. So these kinds of thoughts, again, we're not looking at trying to stop the thoughts, but recognizing, oh, this is a harsh thought. And maybe how much am I believing this harsh thought? This is a divisive thought. And how much am I believing this divisive thought? Harsh thoughts, I mean, talking about self-hatred, those are self-directed harsh thoughts. We direct those towards ourselves, towards other people. So again, looking at those kinds of thoughts and looking at how much we believe them. Divisive thoughts are interesting because they tend to separate us into self and other. We begin to see that our thoughts create this division. You know, this person, that person did that thing to me. That person's wrong. That person's bad. I'm right. They're wrong. So we have that. We have this kind of division, and so our thoughts often do this kind of divisiveness into self and other. So again, beginning to notice that, it's like, oh, okay, othering is happening. That's a really useful recognition for thinking, especially in our daily lives. Lots of othering going on in our culture right now. So really useful to notice it, you know, notice that tendency to separate. You don't have to merge with people, but do recognize that separation. So as we start to see thoughts that are not so helpful, when we can be mindful of them, you know, thoughts lead to actions. Thoughts lead to actually physical actions, and they lead to emotional responses in our hearts and minds. You know, we did this last week where I dropped in some words. Some of you were here. I dropped some words into your meditation, and, you know, just a few words shifted the inner climate for many of you of what you were experiencing. And so when we think things, we experience a shift of our inner landscape. And when we think things, we can follow through on them. So thoughts tend to lead to actions of body, of speech, and of our heart. And so as we become aware of that, we become aware of our thoughts, we have a little bit of space to choose. We may not be able to choose about how we respond to those thoughts. You know, if the thought of self-hatred, for instance, the thought of I'm no good, often created a feeling of being not valuable, you know, created that kind of feeling in me. And that isn't something I could choose to say, oh, I'm not going to do that. But often with thoughts, when we become aware of them, we can at least choose. If we notice a thought we can choose to not speak if it's an unskillful thought, or we can choose to not follow through on an action. And so this is very beneficial for us as well, as we become aware of this unskillful side of thoughts. This too may be what the Buddha meant by abandoning. You know, not squashing the thought, not repressing the thought, but becoming aware of it and abandoning the tumbling forward with the thought. Abandoning leaping on the thought and saying, yeah, I'm gonna say that thing. I'm gonna do that thing. So the mindfulness of these unskillful thoughts gives us a little gap to be able to choose, do I act on that one? Do I say something or do something following through on that thought? And likewise, when we notice skillful thoughts, we can have the sense of, oh, that is a skillful thought. I will say something. I will do something. So that it's not always about refraining from. As we notice skillful thoughts, thoughts of compassion, we may act out of compassion. We notice thoughts of supporting somebody or helping somebody, we may act out of that generosity and kindness. In daily life, the busyness of daily life does make this a challenging practice. It's hard to remember to be aware of our thoughts. And so here's a kind of some suggestions on how to begin to explore this. It takes some commitment. You know, it takes some the intention. I'd like to see if I can begin to be aware of my thoughts in daily life. A good place to begin, last week I used this analogy of practicing and working with thoughts. I used the analogy of a basketball game that, you know, if you're learning to play basketball or learning any sport or any skill, you start with the basics. You know, you start with learning the basic tools, and then you might move into playing with a friend, or then you might move into playing with a few more friends if you're learning basketball. And so you don't start right away in a professional game when you're learning to play basketball. And likewise, with trying to be mindful of thoughts, taking it a little bit at a time and starting with the basic skills. So kind of the analogy would be starting with activities in daily life where you're basically alone. You know, the first place we can start to explore working with thoughts is in our meditation. That's probably the most structured form, like we did at the end of the sitting. Just begin to look at, can I notice thoughts? Can I notice that I'm thinking while I'm thinking? But we're trying to move this into daily life, and so exploring times when you're alone, times when you're doing something simple. Pick a task that, you know, a chore, brushing your teeth or washing your dishes or making your bed or something. And while you're doing that, see if you can explore the thoughts that happen while you're doing that. Can you know what you're thinking while you're doing that? Some of the thoughts will naturally be around the activity, although those I've noticed are actually pretty subtle, especially when we've learned to do something, you know, like I can wash dishes without having to think, oh, I need to pick up that dish next, and then I need to put soap on the sponge and rub. I don't have to think about that. Consciously, I don't have to think about it. There are some very subtle thoughts that happen about that while I'm doing it. And I have seen that kind of thing. It's kind of startling to be able to see those kinds of thoughts. They often come as images or just little quick bursts of thought. Like one morning while I was making my bed, I was like, pink pillow next. That was the thought that arose in my mind. It's like, wow, who said that, you know? So it's just like, so we can begin to see the subtle thoughts that are associated with the activity. But those are pretty quiet. But just in being, the other thing that we can start to notice is just how our minds begin to, when we're doing something we're familiar with doing, our minds tend to go off and think about things. What's the next thing I need to do? What am I going to be doing tomorrow? Or what do I need to do today? Or sometimes our mind just kind of goes into freewheel mode and it just starts, you know, sometimes when I'm doing something like washing dishes, it's a great time to just let the mind kind of relax and think thoughts. You know, it's like just let the thoughts come because that's when I remember things. You know, I might remember, oh yeah, I forgot about that piece that I need to do today. And if I'm mindful, I can kind of connect with those thoughts and remember them. So as you explore a simple activity like that, just see if you can begin to notice your thoughts. Notice the thoughts that happen while you're doing it. Oh, there's planning, okay. Oh, there's remembering. And in our daily lives, we're not trying to set them aside and say, oh, don't plan. It's like, no, we need to plan. So notice that you're planning. When the next step in this, especially in our when we're exploring this alone, is to begin to see if you can recognize not only that you're thinking and what you're thinking, but begin to recognize how you are while you're thinking about it. And so, you know, very often as I'm doing something and then a thought comes up about, oh, that, I forgot that thing. There's a tension that arises or a fear or a confusion. Oh, when did I forget about that? And so there's other things that are coming along with our thoughts. So useful to recognize, how are you when you recognize those thoughts? And you can play with the, are these thoughts true, necessary, kind, also when you're exploring this activity. So that's the first thing that I'd suggest, is seeing if you can, you know, pick one simple thing a day, a simple chore, and see if, use it for a 5-minute exploration of your thoughts. Can you be aware of your thoughts in that activity? You may not remember it, and so you can put a big, like, sign in front of your kitchen sink or on your bathroom mirror, you know. Put a sign there that says, oh, be aware of thoughts. Just help yourself remember. It's not cheating to try to do that. Just play with it and see what happens as you begin to be able to be aware of thought. And then moving into a kind of a more structured activity with someone else who's interested in doing this. So, you know, a friend who also is interested in exploring being aware of thoughts. Having a mindful conversation with somebody is a great way to become aware of your thoughts. And so if you have, at one point I set up with a friend, we set up a mindful lunch date. We went on this lunch date to practice being mindful while we were speaking together. And so as we sat there, we were conscious, we were helping each other try to remember this. And as I sat there, it's like so I knew I was going to say something, but because I was trying to be mindful while I was talking to my friend, I could see in my mind, as I paused before speaking, I could see every thought that was going to turn into speech. And so this also slows things down a little bit for us. It slows our thoughts down a little bit if we have somebody that we're going to be talking to and pausing with every thought. And so I could see every single thought before I was getting ready to say it. And what happened at the very beginning of that encounter was that I sat there. I don't know what was going on in my friend's mind, but I sat there in silence for about 3 minutes thinking a thought. Not useful. Don't say that one. Oh, that one's self-aggrandizing. Okay, don't say that one. It's like I kept ruling out these thoughts because they were not necessary, not useful, not kind. And at some point, what I said, the first sentence I said was, I'm sitting here ruling out thoughts because they're not helpful. So that was a really, really, it was fun, actually, to sit down with my friend and play with this. And it kind of highlighted the possibility of doing this, of seeing thoughts and being able to recognize true, useful, kind. Are they true, useful, kind? So that actually might be a good thing to play with. So working with thoughts in daily life and getting caught up in our thoughts and taking action on them, that's going to happen. You know, we're going to do that. And so what I would say is that be really kind to yourself. You know, it's not easy to be mindful in the midst of our daily lives. It's possible. And I really want to encourage you to try, because without trying, it won't happen. But it takes a lot of messing up. It takes a lot of noticing, wow, I jumped into that one again. And so notice as best you can. Notice when you are reactive. And see if you can pause before acting. So just in a very simple way, if it feels like you're kind of in attention and a reactive mode, see if you can pause before speaking, pause before acting. If you find yourself blurting something out, what I'd like to suggest is get really good at cleaning up the mess. Get good at apologizing. That the humility around, yeah, I blew that. I apologize. I'm sorry. That is a very, it's healing for ourselves and others, but it's also, it corrects the tendency of our mind to try to justify having done something unskillful. It's a really strong tendency that we have. It's like, oh, they didn't notice, or they deserved it anyway, or something along those lines, you know, that our minds will try to justify that. And so this choosing to acknowledge, yeah, that wasn't helpful, and taking the action to apologize or in some way try to make amends is very corrective for that tendency, because it actually feels better to acknowledge, yeah, that was not the right thing to do. The heart relaxes with that. Well, gosh, it's time to stop. Let's see. I will say one last piece before. I was thinking of taking questions, but I clearly can't do that. But I will just say one last piece. In exploring thinking mindfully in our daily lives in particular, a really useful exploration is to begin to recognize, when do thoughts move from useful to useless? Many of our thoughts begin with some kind of grounding or connection with something that we need to do or think about, and then it just kind of wanders out from that. It's like the way our minds wander when we're meditating. You know, some thought arises, and we don't particularly notice it, and then the mind just kind of wanders off of that thought, thinking all kinds of various things about it. Not particularly structured or useful. That kind of thing happens in our daily lives as well. And so where do the thoughts shift from being useful to being useless?